And also put whoever posted in that chat line. I guess, you know,
Love
that's a favorite mention.
Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. Shed blood from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
My sexy co-host is on the line. Are you there, sweetheart?
Of course I am.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Tiffany Belvin.
And this is Reality and Relationships, and it must be Thursday night. Gotta love
must
it. Gotta
be.
Love it. Must be. Reality and Relationships is a show that is weekly. We come on every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. And Tiff and I do the best that we can to try to present relationships from various points of view. We try to look at all different type of relationships, not just male, female. We try to look at all of them. Relationships with your children, relationships with your coworkers, relationship with the bus driver, whoever. We try to look at everything. And so we just try to, for over the 2-hour period to bring something to the table that's going to be informative, something that you can take away tonight, go to work tomorrow and have a conversation about it. And tonight, we're going to be talking about communication. And what is the little tagline you added for tonight?
I'm sorry?
What was the little tagline that you added for tonight?
Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Breaking down the barriers of communication.
And we got something to talk about, too. But before we get into that, how's your week been, baby?
My week has been going smoothly. I'm sort of surprised, but, you know, it's been going smoothly. I had a great weekend. Actually, this weekend I went to an audition for Full Figure Fashion Week. For those who are not aware,
what is that?
There is a Full Figure Fashion Week that's produced by DeVoe's Signature Events, and the executive producer is Gwen DeVoe, one of my mentors. And it was fun, I have to say, because I've been off the radar for about 4 years now. The last runway show I did was in 2009, and it was Full Figure Fashion Week 2009. That was the debut and the first show. So It was great to see all of my model friends who haven't seen me in a long time. They were actually surprised to see me on the line. And believe it or not, the Full Figure Fashion Week production team has been traveling throughout the country. They had castings in 13 different states, and New York was their last stop. They saw over 2,000 plus-size women who are keeping their fingers crossed to see if they'll be on the runway this year. And
so,
New York,
hold on one second. Plus-size, we talking like size 8, 10, 12?
Well,
when we say plus-size, what are we talking about?
In the fashion industry, and it's funny because I met a young lady who worked in a store next door to Lane Bryant where the audition was being held. In the fashion industry, plus size starts at size 8.
Nobody got time for that.
But for the purposes of Full Figure Fashion Week, they were looking for models anywhere from size 14 to 20. So
that's what I'm talking about. 20.
If you were size 14 to 20, then they were looking for you. And if you had a great runway walk, because that's important too. And actually, New York. New York had the biggest turnout. We had over 300 people online. And honestly, I joined the line at 1:30, and I was. The line opened up at 12. So I joined the line at about 1:30, and I was number 172. So if
wow.
you can imagine, there were almost 200 people online before 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my thing, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed because this year is the 50th anniversary, so that is a milestone. And I'm looking forward to being there. I've been at every Full Figure Fashion Week event every year. I haven't been at every event, but every year I've attended an event, but I'm looking forward to being on the runway this year. So I'm hoping they call me and they give me a chance to come out and show out again, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you really did have a big week there. I ain't mad at that. Nothing wrong with that.
I also met up with my bestie, Suzette Bonzo. She's an actress. And we hadn't seen each other for several months now. So she met me at the audition. She picked me up, and then we went out to a Cuban restaurant to have something to eat. So we spent some quality time together. And I
nobody brought me any food, so I'm upset about that. I didn't get
I'm
any
sorry.
Goldie bags, nothing. See, this is what happens when you're married to a plus size woman, fellas. Understand? Ain't gonna be too much being brought home.
Don't say that. That is not true because I
put your order in early. Be like, could you please get a brother, get a rib, a bone, something.
I often bring you something home, but I got so caught up with basically reuniting with Susie after so much time that unfortunately I lost track of time. Because remember, when I text you, we were leaving the restaurant. I was on my way home. So
I got you. And Susie is very sexy, by the way, guys. Guys, if you're listening, or ladies, you know, this is 2013. Susie is a very sexy Latin woman and mature. Now, and when I say mature, and I'm not just talking about age, I'm talking about she just has that fine wine appeal to her. If my wife was ever kidnapped by aliens, lost in the Bermuda Triangle, and Jill Scott would not have me, Susie would have a problem. But I don't hope that happens. I'm happy in love. I'm just saying, you never know.
So how was your week, honey?
My week? Oh, listen, I'm a New York City educator. What can I really say? When I get to this point of the week, it's good. Now, my week was fine. Long week. I had to take a day off on Tuesday because I had some personal business to take care of. So I was finally happy to get that taken care of and really just trying to get through in schools. Easter break starts next Friday, so we have 6 more days of classes. So, of course, kids are on edge, teachers on edge. People are tired, and you'd be surprised to believe how much the internal clock is in place for all of us when it comes to knowing that you're getting close to the breaks. Because as a dean, it seems like the fights increase, the tempers are flaring. And it's not just the kids, but my job is to try to find a way to douse that and try to make things as safe as possible. And that's what I do. It's a little frustrating, but you know, I'm getting to just this break with my head up. And then once we come from that break, it's the home stretch. 2.5 months left of school, and that's it.
Right.
So
you know what I forgot to mention, though? I forgot to mention, speaking of being the dean, I really enjoyed being at your mentoring program on Saturday. That's another thing that I did this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I was about to mention that. Yeah, the Young Men's, our Young Kings, which is our young mentor, our mentor program, which is called Young Kings. We meet every Saturday in Brooklyn at the school that I teach at. And it's designed to try to enhance the young men's thinking about themselves, introducing them to other role models, men that I know who come in. And we really work on trying to reorganize their thought process. And what's really interesting about the group that Tiff sat in on, the two speakers that came in are two very well-known poets who I've worked with. We actually are in a book together, Wordplay One, shameless plug. The Real and my man Distinguished. And The Real has been in the movie The King of Paper Chasing. So if any of you saw The King of Paper Chasing, he was ugly man. And so he really came in very smooth. He did the politician thing, and the kids were kind of like, yeah, whatever. So Real said, nah, hold up. Well, y'all want to keep it ghetto. So he went real hard with the young men and got their attention. But by the end of the afternoon, we had a father who stopped in who was going to take his son home early because they had plans. He actually stayed for the last half an hour, and he complimented me on what we were doing for his son and the other young men there. And the young men really enjoyed Real. They really enjoyed Distinguished. They enjoyed hearing what they had to say. And it doesn't feel like work, even though it's day number 6 of a long week. I really had a great time, and I like seeing the reaction from the young men afterwards. So I got to admit, it was really a fun time. So I'm glad you got a chance to sit in.
I liked it too, because I get to see what we do. Is you have your mentoring program. I'm into young ladies with the Lady Dove Self-Enrichment Organization and outside of that. But we get to see kids in, I think, in a more candid form. And they're very open about discussion that they wouldn't have around their parents. So I found it really funny, some of the things that they had to say. I even found it funny the young man asked you and I who wore the jeans in a relationship.
He said, Mr. B, I got to ask. He said, I hope I'm not being disrespectful, but who wears the jeans in your relationship? I said, excuse me? Ask my wife. We're here. You know, who does wear the jeans in our relationship?
You know that is you. Without a doubt, men, women listening, my husband, K.L. Belvin, wears the jeans in our relationship.
That's what I'm talking about. And the only reason why I wear the jeans is because I make sure that my lovely wife is protected. And so that has a lot to do with it. Well, I'll tell you what. before we do anything else, I want to thank GQ College Radio for having us on each week, and we appreciate being here. What's going on in the news this week? Yeah, enough about us. Oh, and by the way, folks listening, I don't want you to think like Tip lives in like Africa, and I live in Antarctica, and so we get together each week. We're catching up. But sometimes our lives are very hectic, and we might only have a couple of hours where we can actually sit and unwind, and even then we're working at the same time. So we actually enjoy taking this time out on Thursday to catch up with each other and to hear what each other's doing, because sometimes our conversations are limited because of the work that we have to do once we get off our other jobs. So I don't want you to think that we're not together or anything like that, but we are. We just kind of enjoy the catch-up.
Well, what's going on in the news? There are a lot of things going on. And I know last week I said that I was going to try to find some happy news. Because
Be sad again.
No. Actually, I did find a story that was near and dear to my heart, and I believe it would be near and dear to yours also. Now, there was a family, and I was trying to get the article. Unfortunately, my computer is running slow, so I'm not able to access the article, and I printed it out at work and left it at work. But basically, the article was about two women who became friends 4 years ago at a party. They met each other at a party. They became friends, and they also were Facebook friends. One happened to post a story of, she was 10 years old. She had a sibling that had to give up a baby for adoption. They made the tough choice to give us a baby, and that day would have been the birthday of her niece if, you know, she was still in the family. The friend saw the post and said, wait a minute, that's my birthday. They started talking and realized that they were related, that they were friends for 4 years, but this was the aunt and niece who had never known each other because the niece was given up for adoption, and Facebook revealed that information. So can you imagine?
Wow.
And
Facebook is tremendous that way. You know, I met my son at the time. He was 26 years old, and we reconnected because of Facebook.
Right. So that's the reason why I said, I need to talk about this, because you met your son for the first time on Facebook. I actually met my sister for the first time on Facebook back in 2009. She contacted me, my biological father, I had lost contact with for almost 30 years. And she knew my name. She contacted me. She sent me an inbox, and she said she was looking for her sister, and she gave all this information, and I wrote back to her. I thought it was funny because I didn't think that this was my sister. I said, you know, I'll respond to her to be courteous. But then when we started talking, we realized, oh, wow, this is my sister. So it's just amazing with the modern technology and the advancement of the internet to be able to get in contact with people that you probably would have never heard from, or even lose touch with friends and family. Remember the days of long distance, crossing the arm and the leg to make a long distance phone call? That is not
even. Yeah, I remember. Well, you had to get those fake codes, the 110 or the 110 to make a long distance call because you couldn't afford it. Yeah, I remember.
Right, so that's not even a concern anymore, because we can now speak to people in other countries and get connected and get so much information. It's just, it's really amazing. I thought that was a great, heartwarming story to learn that.
Finally, a story that where I ain't feeling all sad and emotional by the time you're done. That's a great thing, because normally you be feeling like, wow, so if, you know, kid done got thrown off a roof and somebody got stuck in a microwave or, you know.
Well,
no, actually, I think if folks use the social networks with some type of respect, there are tremendous positives. But unfortunately, we know that folks love to use it for all the other reasons. So stories like this kind of get absorbed into the catfish and stalkers and, you know,
right,
everybody part being shown and duck lips and everything else. So.
Right. So now I don't want to disappoint you, but I do have to report some not-so-good news.
All right,
now,
go ahead.
We have Gilberto Valle. Do you know that name, honey? Gilberto Valle?
Who is that?
He is the cop that was just found guilty of conspiring to kidnap and eat women. They're calling him the cannibal cop.
I was about to ask you, let that be the cannibal cop. What's
yes. He was just convicted, and he is now facing life in prison for conspiring.
Somebody, you need to go to jail for life.
Well, you know what's funny? He did not actually eat anyone. He did not kidnap anyone. He didn't eat anyone. The thing that happened is his wife came across information. From what I understand, he was looking, doing research online. You see a negative way to use the internet. He was doing research online to find one of a rotisserie grill that was big enough to cook a human being. He was planning to purchase a rotisserie grill. He was planning to purchase pots and all type of things to be able to cook human meat and eat it. He even, now mind you, this is a cop. So he was also going through, I guess, the documents on his job to see who he could take off the radar as a victim. And would, you know, would be the ideal victim that no one would look for because either they're transient or, you know, just nobody that has family or anything like that. So can you imagine? He was doing all this research, and his wife came across it on the computer through an email, and she reported him.
So snooping actually paid off this time.
Yes, snooping actually paid off. His lawyer believed that he would get off because she said he didn't actually commit a crime, that this was just like a fantasy. Any fantasy that anyone has, like little girls who want to grow up and be princesses and queens, or men who want to grow up and, you know, be the president. So this was his fantasy of kidnapping and eating women, but he didn't really plan to do it.
If you start eating people, you should go to jail for life.
Well, obviously, the jury found it different. They saw it differently, and he's on his way to jail, and he's facing life in jail.
Wow. That's a lot of years to be rolling for your cheeks.
Yes.
Well, cop, don't drop the soap. Next story.
The next story I wanted to discuss, because this is also something that affects us, because it's very close to home. It's like a hop, skip, and a jump. We had, unfortunately, over the weekend, a 16-year-old who was shot and killed by two police officers in Brooklyn, which is really, it's about, 10, 15-minute drive from our house. And
yeah, I can live in the neighborhood a year ago.
Right. Unfortunately, what the story is the police approached a group of young men, and one of the young men started walking away from the group. And when the police asked him, started questioning him, he turned around and he pointed a .38 caliber gun. That's what was alleged. Now, he pointed a .38 caliber gun at the police officers and they shot him. Now, witnesses say that the young man did not have a gun. Of course, the police are saying something different. Unfortunately, it's sad that this young man lost his life. But what I wanted to actually address, because we deal with gun violence a lot in our community, but what I really wanted to address is the reaction to this particular incident. There have been a few protests over the weekend and even the last couple of days in regards to this circumstance. But when I was watching the news, they showed where a group of maybe 50 people ran into a Rite Aid and destroyed property, stole items, just all type of things after one of the vigils for this young man, basically out of anger. And I understand the anger. What I don't understand is how that anger transfers into, I'm going to destroy my community, I'm going to destroy the stores in my community because this happened. I think there's so many other positive things that we can do in order to bring light to this, that we don't have to steal someone else's livelihood. Because think about it, the people in Rite Aid, they make minimum wage. They're trying to make a living also. So you come into the store, you trash the store, you steal things, and then what are the people that work there supposed to do? It's just really sad.
That's easier said after or during when you're on the outside looking in. When you have a community, like the councilman was saying, that they've been reaching out to law enforcement to help bridge this gap. Now, as an individual who mentors young men and having taught for close to 20 years, when there's an undercurrent of violence, it doesn't take much for that powder keg to explode. And then folks will use that as an avenue to release what they've been trying to suppress. Now, are there going to be stupid things that's going to happen when folks are just out in a flurry? Of course. The thing is that their energy has to be absorbed somewhere. Someone has to get in there and calm that energy down, because this will continue to happen simply because if there's no explanation, if there's no way of being able to say clearly what happened, no witnesses, no whatever, and then you have conflicting stories. Well, you have to look at the same thing with Rodney King. You have to look at the same thing with O.J. Simpson. When people are fed up with what they perceive to be a problem, you even have to look back to when they had the riots in Crown Heights, when the Jewish ambulance came and saved the Jewish man, but not the young boy who had passed away. When people perceive that they are being done dirty, and the opportunity just to lash out comes, and it might be two or three stupid people who started, but then when everybody joins in, it gets worse. They don't really care if it's the store owner who's been in the neighborhood for a while, or this, whatever. You know, these things can happen in such quickness. They're not always intelligent movements. Yes, there's always better ways to hold a visual, visual for the young man or whatever. The mother's, you know, on television asking to try to honor his death by not being violent. And then there's always thrill seekers. There's those that hang out in the crowd who use any excuse to go and steal, do whatever. I mean, you've seen it in any type of tragedy. You've seen it in Katrina. You've seen it in many places. Unfortunately, as folks of color, we don't always make the best decision when that anger shows itself. I just hope.
See, that's the thing, because I had this discussion with one of my coworkers. She's in school right now studying for social work. So she's taking a sociology class, and the professor played a video of the looting and the destruction of the Rite Aid store in Brooklyn. And mm-hmm. she said, with her being one of the only African-American students in the class, she shrunk in her seat because she felt like other cultures, this is how they perceive us as being animals and out of control. And in some cases, I have to agree with her, because even when we walk our own street, it drives me crazy to see some of the things that happen. And I understand it's an outrage.
Hold on a second. Now, and I understand everything you're saying. But you also have to look at videos from other cultures. You see what happens in Ireland, in England, happens in the Middle East. People riot. People riot, throw rocks, do whatever. It's not confined to just folks of color. It's shameful and saddening when it is us looking at our own. But this happens all over the country, all over the world, excuse me. Anytime you have a situation of less and more, or rich and poor, when you have folks who feel downtrodden or feel that they've been victimized, there's going to be a point of explosion, and that retaliation could come in any form.
I agree with you that we have those situations all over the world. But we need to start policing our own community, our own selves. When we see things happening that shouldn't happen, then we need to address it and say, you know what, this shouldn't happen. That way somebody can't come into our community and treat us how they think they should treat us because of the stereotypes that come along with us. I think we need to be more focused on what can we do in our community. And you and I do it, but we need to do it on a bigger scale. Like, we need so many more people to say, you know what, this is how you need to act. Like, that young man, if someone was toward him, and I told you this before, honey, that I really wish that within our community we would teach our young men, if a police officer approaches you, you don't walk away. You don't turn your back to that police officer. You stand there. You don't have to say anything to him, because you do have the right to remain silent. But don't be in a combative situation where they think that you're being aggressive, and now they feel that they have the right to take your life or even make an excuse for the reason to take your life.
There's yeah, we talked about that. We talked about in the group with the young men. We talked about that with the young men, explaining to them how they should act, you know, what ways to consider. But these things have to be done once tempers are calm. The reason why you can't do it right now, we got to get folks in the community to come out and really get folks to calm down, get folks back in the house, let the police get out of battle mode because they can't hear nothing right now, and really get out of that exchange mode to where we can get back to sitting down and getting some hardline answers. Can't do it when police are in riot gear. Mindset is
right.
In one way, and at that point, it's protection or damage. Somebody's going
right.
to get hurt. And
right.
So we got to, and I would implore anybody that's listening that knows people in those communities, please go and just tell folks, calm it down. Let's back it up. There's other ways that we can do this. Let the folks who we've elected and that we've said, you're going to be our voice. Now it's time for them to earn that paycheck. Now it's time
right.
for them to earn those votes we gave them. And if they don't know how to use them, then we vote somebody else simply because they're not doing what they're supposed to. But let's do this the right way. Also, anyone that's listening on the phone line, phone number is 646-200-3838. If you're listening in, you can press 1 to talk to the host and come on and talk to Tiff and I. Also, we hope that you're telling a friend. Tell a friend to come and join us. We're going to take a break because we do want to get into the subject tonight of communication. Also, the chat room is open. Now, tonight we're going to do something a little bit different because trying to give out these long numbers on the chat room is crazy. The chat room is chatsy.com. But what you can do is if you go to Facebook and check out GQ General Question, hosted by Rich Money. If you go to GQ Palace General Question on Facebook and join the group, the chat room information is posted there. If you go to Facebook, Making Marriage Cool Again, and like our page, that is Tiffany and our marriage page, the information for the chat room is on that page. As well as if you happen to be a friend of mine, Arthur K.L. Belvin on Facebook, the information is there. So we want you to come join us in the chat room. The reason why I'm not giving out that long number, it is a little too long and ridiculous. So what we want you to do, the links and the passwords to the chat room are in GQ Palace General Question, the group. Please join on Facebook or Make a Marriage Cool Again, our Facebook page. We'd love you to like the page. And then come join us in the chat room. I'm just sitting here scanning the chat room, seeing if anybody popped in to ask any questions. So I'll gladly ask any questions. Or if you want, call in, and we'll answer any questions that way. So we're going to take a break. We're going to take a two-song break, which is our usual. And when we come back, we're going to talk about communication, because Tiff and I had a real funny situation that speaks directly to what we're going to talk about. And we're also going to talk about is our Make a Marriage Cool Again seminar, because communication is one of the building blocks that we put into the seminar that we created when we go out and speak and when we're invited places to do the seminar. So I'm going to talk more about the seminar. We're going to really get into some things that we're going to hope can help folks in their relationship that they can take away from tonight. Or you can always tell friends if they missed this tonight show, tune back in to GQ Palace Radio on blogtalk.com. And just look us up and listen to the archives. Also, GQ Palace has shows on every night except for Saturday. And I'm sure they'll fill that Saturday spot because people are going to be knocking down the door to be a part of GQ Palace Radio. But 6 days a week, GQ Palace Radio is bringing it to you. And we hope that you'll tune in other nights to listen to the show. So we'll be back in two songs. That is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin. And we thank you. And this is Relationship. Reality and Relationships every Thursday night.
You still ain't got it right.
I'm getting it.
Never started. been mixing up lately, but you see me, I'm willing to change for you. But you know how long I've been on you. Think I'm gonna let you out like that.
Don't feel like it's been
thinking, what's the difference? Why am I not interested? Cause when you've been broken, you feel like no one can fix it. Yeah.
Have you?
You know what? I got to give a shout out to the DJs behind the scene, man. Every week, the music is killer, man. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. I'm here jamming. If y'all can see me doing my big man jam. That's what I'm talking about. DJ, give yourself a round of applause. Can we get another one? But that's what I'm talking about. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. That is my lovely co-host, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin, and it's Thursday night, as always. And all you guys listening on the phones, thank you so much for calling in. Actually, what we're going to do tonight, Tip and I are about to introduce the topic. We're going to talk about it for a couple of minutes. We have two guests coming on tonight after 9 o'clock. They were invited to come in and speak a little bit. And at 9:30, what we're going to do is we're hoping that all you guys that are on the phones start hitting those ones after the 9:30 break, because we're going to go from 9:30 to 10 answering any questions that you have. Chat room is open. Just stop by GQ Palace General Question on Facebook, or Make a Marriage Cool Again on Facebook, and you will see the passwords and the login information for the chat room. Tip and I are in there also. So there's definitely ways to reach us. We are here. So, darling,
yes,
let's get into this. Communication, huh? All right. So can you understand the words? I've been jamming it up all night. Can you give it to me
you
again?
You have. You've been jamming it up all week.
Obviously, you do not
understand the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Well, the snoring that's coming out of your mouth, too. But anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Communication.
I'm sorry, go ahead, baby.
No, go ahead.
No, you know, communication, I think if you went out and polled a lot of people and said, what is one of the most important things in a relationship, the two things that are going to come up more than anything else are trust and communication. So we talk about trust, but we're not going to talk about trust tonight. That is understood that trust is needed, but communication. And communication can be a barrier. So what I want to do right now is I want to give everyone listening three of the tips that we include in our seminar that we do on Make a Marriage Cool Again about communication. One, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33 from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, you may say, hey, yo, why are you taking us to church? Well, there it is in the scriptures, that do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. When you and your significant other have negative conversations back and forth, your manners towards each other and other people decrease, start to become something negative. You will start to treat other people foul, because the two of you are treating each other foul. So scripture can also be tools to learning. So when you look at that scripture, when it says, be not fooled, evil communication corrupts good manners. So you could be the nicest person in the world, but if you're getting evil conversation constantly, being hit with it, you're not going to react in a nice manner. And so it is very important that you and your significant other be comfortable enough to talk about any subject. Now, number two.
Before you go to, goodness, you already at number two. Can we discuss number one first?
What
I like to tell people is that when you're having a disagreement, you have to think about what's important. Is it important that you want to win the argument,
or is it important for the person that's receiving your message to understand what you're trying to say?
Yes,
that's
very
what
true.
What people don't understand sometimes is, and I've heard it growing up with arguments between my parents, my grandmother, and her male friends, and it's almost like they want to one-up each other on insult. Who can be the most insulting? And I always believe when you really care about somebody and you say you love that person, you don't want to say anything that's going to hurt them. You don't want to say anything that will hurt their feelings or make them look at you differently because you love that person. So
it's more important to
say, okay, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, so let me make it clearer for you to understand what I'm saying so that both of you are on the same accord.
Yeah. Also, anger. Try not to, and I have a big problem with this, so I got to come clean. I want to have the communication regardless of the setting sometime because I want to get it on the table so we can talk about it. Tip is more like, let me chill. Let me get myself together. Then we can talk about it. I'm like, salty or not, let's get into this. Because if we can get into this now, we can start to fix it. So sometimes we're at an impasse. That's where we kind of rub against each other. Now, the key to that is having a way to work with each other when you're at that disagreement. Now, when they do flare up, and they do, Tip and I just went through this last week. This is what prompted us to want to talk about this week. If neither one of you put your foot on the brake, both of you are going over the cliff.
Absolutely.
So somebody has to stop and say, wait, we can't keep doing it like this. Somebody has to give in and say, okay, I'm not sure where I was wrong, but let's talk. And talk means I got to stop and listen. Talk means tell me what you're mad at, and I'm going to listen. Then I'm going to tell you what I'm mad at, and you're going to listen. And then we're going to sift through this trash until we can find what it is that we've dropped in this relationship to put it back together.
Right.
Because if you don't, just like the scripture says, not only will you corrupt, remember, corruption is when you turn something completely negative. If you corrupt good manners, you might not be able to get them back with that person. So understand, you are risking the destruction of your relationship if your egos swell to such a degree that nobody wants to give in. Now, point two.
Before we get to number two, you got guests coming, right?
Okay. Well, they can wait. Let's go. They can wait. Come on, let's talk.
I wanted to just give an example of what happened this morning when we woke up. Now,
that was going to work with number two, but go ahead. You jumped the gun. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
It's my responsibility to set the alarm clock, and we actually have a clock.
You got me sound like Ike Turner. Wait. You got me sound like Ike Turner. It's her responsibility to set the alarm clock. Now we sound like Steve with the
head. I don't have you sound like Ike Turner. It's just my responsibility.
Hold on, baby.
Everyone has responsibilities in a relationship.
Baby. That's not a responsibility. You set the alarm clock because you're better with that foolish clock that you bought. I know how to work it. I just don't like working it. So you deal with it because you're better suited because you're more comfortable with it. Don't make it sound like you have to set it or you're not allowed to go to sleep, stand in the corner.
Okay, so how does that change from not being my responsibility? That's still my responsibility, right?
If you don't do it, I'll just do it. It doesn't mean that you have responsibility. It's something you have to do.
You can sugarcoat it the way you want to. 98% of the time, I am setting the alarm clock.
Yes, okay, yeah, go ahead. You got it, yes, 98%
okay.
of the time.
Okay, so now that we have established that, last night I was a little bit tired, and again, the alarm clock has two alarms, so I can set one for 5 o'clock, which is usually the time that I like to hear the alarm so that it wakes me up.
Roll over. You ain't really getting up, but go ahead.
Yes, I do hit the snooze alarm, but
hit the snooze. I do. Go ahead.
Okay. I set it at 5 o'clock. I set KL's alarm at 6 o'clock. Well, last night, I have no idea what I was thinking. Maybe I was distracted. but I accidentally set my alarm for 4 o'clock. Now, KL is closer to the alarm clock. So when it went off at 4 o'clock, I remember him saying, "Tiff, get up, the alarm clock went off at 4 o'clock. And I'm thinking, I don't get up at 4 o'clock, so why did the alarm go off at 4? Then I remembered I set my phone for 4 o'clock. So I thought, okay, maybe he meant my phone. He turned it off. We both went back to sleep. I didn't realize that every 10 minutes, the alarm clock was going off because KL kept hitting the snooze button. I said to KL, when I finally woke up at 6 o'clock, which is 2 hours later, I said to him, why didn't you just wake me up and say to me, Tiff, there's something wrong. The alarm clock went off at 4 o'clock. I need you to fix it. Instead, he just kept hitting the snooze alarm. Now, isn't that what happened?
May I now, because I'm glad your interpretation was so whatever.
Okay.
So, first of all, I nudged you 3 or 4 times. Baby, get up. You set the alarm clock for 4. Why you set it for 4? Get up.
You
said, you okay,
me,
no problem.
But I really you wanted said, you to okay. wake me up, to wake me up and say, Tiffany, I need you to understand. I need you to get up because obviously you're not waking up to
all
fix
right.
the clock.
No, I got you, but 3,
have I ever set the alarm clock for 4 o'clock, honey?
But
have
you
I ever set the alarm
clock? Hold on. See, this is the communication, guys. So you got to be able to, instead of yelling and screaming at each other. Tiff did say she was going to get up because she was going to work out yesterday. I thought she set the alarm clock at 4 to get up to do what she said she was going to do. So I was trying to wake her up because I'm like, okay, if that's why you wanted to get up. Here's the funny thing. 2 hours later, I did not sleep. So now I'm going on like I went to bed at 1, so I was like 3 hours sleep. I get up aggravated. I am vexed. I'm like, I ain't trying to hear nothing. You set the alarm clock before. Tiff, sitting up wide awake now, goes, the alarm clock wasn't set at 4 o'clock. I don't know what's wrong with you. You must have thought it was my phone. I said, honey, it wasn't your phone. I gave you a phone. The alarm clock is 4 o'clock. She's like, no, it's not. I will show you. I said, honey, we ain't got to go through all that. The alarm clock, I know I've been up since 4. Whatever. I will show you. And as soon as she hit the button, it's like the 4 jumped off the screen, landed right into her mouth like a shoe.
And
I looked at it and I said, you know what? Damn that. You see? And I just got up and walked out.
But what did I say? You didn't even wait for me to apologize. I had to send you a text message apologizing about
the That's right. That's right. Because I wasn't trying to hear it. Because how you going to try to tell me that for 2 hours I'm playing wrestle with a snooze bar that it didn't really happen?
That is a problem with communication, because if I'm offering the apology and you don't want to hear it, I'm admitting that I did. Not only did I do something wrong with setting the alarm clock wrong, but then I said I didn't set it wrong, which is also wrong because I pressed the button and realized, okay, you set it wrong. But you didn't even accept my apology at that point.
You know what? You're 100% right. I just wanted to bask in my fact of being right. Because I don't get to be right too often because Tiff has this silent thing. She'll just go, I ain't saying nothing else. Oh, hold on. You know, I got to, real quick, I'm seeing that the women in the room are saying that women rule, whatever. Anyway, that's what we talk about. No, but you know what? And get to the second thing, which leads us right to the second part that we wrote in our seminar. Conversation has to be like water. Words have to flow and not be blocked. You both must feel comfortable Conversation has to be like water. Words have to flow and not be blocked. You both must feel comfortable with speaking on any subject. Now, yeah, I was basking in it this morning. I was also tired. So I really wasn't trying to get into the apology thing. And I wasn't thinking about the apology. I just was like, prove my point. I'm going to get dressed. Because I'm about to rough somebody off because I got road rage right now and I'm not even in my car yet. So when I got the text message, the first thing I said is cool because I didn't hold on to it. That's another thing, too, when I mentioned ego earlier. Learn to let things go. The end goal, which is you two getting old together. Honey, if you don't take your mouth away from the mic,
that's
turn
not
your
me.
Head.
Do we have a call on the phone?
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
That's
not you?
That's not me.
not me.
That's not you. I'm like, who's talking like that?
There's a call on the phone?
Well, I listen to say, oh,
call,
please turn your mic and cover your mouth. No, but anyway, the idea is that you have to be able to let things go. And the third thing, when words are not controlled, they hit with the force of a hurricane. If you don't stop and consider what's about to come out your mouth, if you allow the words to fly out your mouth when you're angry, then you could hit that person emotionally with the same force of a hurricane. And it's really very serious, and I really want to be serious for a moment. Relationships have been devastated when folks really don't know when to stop. There is a point where you can hurt the person that you love badly because you don't know when to just close your mouth and let it go. Honey?
I agree. I agree because, you know what's funny? I was reading an article today that I came across, and it's an old article about Brandi Norwood, the R&B singer, and how she was in abusive relationships. And it was so interesting that the first relationship she was in, when she was 15, her parents actually allowed her to date a 20-year-old, which is a when she was 15, which is a whole nother story. But she also dated, when she was older, Wanye, I think his name is Wanye Morris from Boys to Men.
Okay.
And it's funny because she doesn't mention his name at all during the interview that she had with Oprah. She and her mother had an interview with Oprah for the magazine. And she doesn't mention his name, but if anyone checks the timeline that she's talking about when she was about 18, 19, she was dating Wanye, who was also 5 years older than her, I believe. And he was verbally abusive. And he would make comments about, and now at this point, she's a mega superstar with, you know, albums and TV shows and everything. He's telling her that she's nothing and that she thinks she's a little princess in her big castle, and just basically breaking her down and just attacking her self-esteem. And a lot of times...
But he was a star? Was he singing at the time?
I'm sorry?
Was he singing at the time? Was he successful at the time?
Yeah, he was with Boyz II Men at the time.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's crazy.
Yes, and they were together for a year, and then after a year, they finally broke up. She couldn't deal with the abuse anymore. But a lot of times, people don't know how to communicate to each other, whether it's because of their own personal reasons that they're dealing with demons inside, or they just, the person that's attacking them, they don't know how to say, you know what, I need a better way for us to discuss this and make this right. She thought that it was acceptable for him to talk to her like that, and she had no idea that it should be different, which is sad.
And you know what's interesting, too, is that you notice that entertainers who date seem to have problems with certain emotional aspects within relationships. And you see that being prevalent in some cases. You saw that with Mary J. Blige and with it was JoJo when she dated him, and you saw it with what's the name from with the Marley young lady from Lauryn Hill. The thing that she allowed to happen. You know, it's you know, and not just entertainers, but in general, communication, being able to stop. Catch yourself and maybe even take a walk. Maybe say, you know what, I'm not going to say that. And bringing things from the past and putting it back on the table. Listen, we all know that's wrong. And there's some things that Tip and I don't talk about in our seminars because there's just some things that if you don't know this by now, you really shouldn't be dating. If you're going to bring up something that happened 4 years ago and keep bringing that to the table, or you tell him you're cool with the past, you tell her you're cool with the past, but yet you keep bringing it up, y'all don't need to be together. You're not ready to be in a relationship. Because there's points where everything has to be anew. There has to be a sharpening of the saw, as they say, meaning that the blade gets dull, you got to sharpen it. And you can't sharpen it by going backwards. You got to sharpen it by going forward.
building new experiences, finding a way to convey to each other how you feel on a daily basis, daily affirmations, I love you, you know, I care about you, I'm thinking about you, text messages, little notes, things that are going to let that person know how you feel and that you care.
You also have to understand that there are things that you need to address. You can't say, okay, maybe it'll just change itself if I do something different. I won't talk about it. I'll just show them how it should be done, and maybe it'll change. Sometimes you have to put it on the table and say, you know what, we need to talk about this. And if your partner doesn't want to talk about it, then you need to reevaluate the relationship. Maybe that's not the relationship for you. Because in order to resolve a lot of the issues that we find in relationships, financial, social, I mean, K.O. and I talk about it all the time. I don't cook, he doesn't clean. So, you know, these are things that need to be communicated and talked about to find some way, some happy medium for you to get along. So we're going to deal with this, and this is how things are going to establish themselves between us so that we know where our roles are. If you don't communicate it, you just think, if I'll be quiet about it, maybe it'll change. It's not going to change.
Very true. Very true. And I have no problem with that. But these are the things that you have to be able to converse about. You have to be able to get out, because if not, they're going to damage the relationship. Well, it is 9 o'clock. You are listening to Reality and Relationships. That is my lovely co-host, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am K.L. Belvin. We're going to take another break. We're expecting a couple of phone calls. We have a couple of guests that are supposed to be in or calling in to discuss who they are, what they do, and their relationship to my wife and I. And you guys that are listening in on the phones, we thank you so much. You guys that are listening in from your computers, we thank you. And we will, at 9:30, we're going to open up the phone lines, and we will listen to any questions or thoughts that you have on the ideas of communication. We're going to get back into this conversation on communication. We're also going to ask of the guests that we have coming in, we're going to ask them their thoughts on communications in relationships and see where it goes. So, again, stay right there. We're going to take a two-song break. That's what we do. You're listening to Reality and Relationships. We'll be right back in two songs.
Across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out to dinner, babe? 'Cause that's something that I wanna say to you. My love is all I have to give. Account for seven figures, and I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby, and in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter, and I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. And I was wondering if you and I can get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your passion. I give you all. I have. Love is all I
it. Don't speak to me, Mr. John Doe. You don't know me. I don't know you. I'm sorry if I hurt your boy, but this is what I do. I put it down. I told you I don't play around. Attack you like the Twin Towers. I just took you down.
All right, welcome back to Reality and Relationships. We are excited. Tiff, you have some news.
Yes, actually, it's funny. The guest caller that we have, the first guest caller we have calling in, I have never met her in person. I corresponded with her on Facebook. Her name is Candace Hudson. She's the Queens Chapter Director of Operation Prom. For those who are not familiar with Operation Prom, it's an organization that collects dresses for young ladies who are unable to possibly afford dresses for their prom. And they're donated to the young ladies in order for them to attend their school event.
Why don't we let Candace tell us that? I want to hear from you. I want to
explain that Candace reached out to me on Facebook, and she sent me an inbox asking if I had any evening gowns available to donate to the organization. And unfortunately, I did not have any available because I had already donated all my evening gowns. But I told her that I would be glad to volunteer for an event that's happening this weekend. So I'm not going to tell anymore. I'm going to let Candace tell everything that's going on. Candace, are you there?
Hello?
Candace, hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
Good. So you're on the line, Reality Relationships. We can hear you clearly.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. So I just told everyone how we met online, but we haven't met officially until tomorrow when we start setting up for the event. But tell us how you got involved with Operation Prom.
Well, I actually... back in 2007, I actually, a couple of years ago, volunteered with a different prom dress giveaway. And after I volunteered, I kind of, you know, was inspired to want to do something on my own. And also my sister, who passed away in 2007, she, when she was alive, she tried to help out one of our family friends by finding them a prom dress. And she did speak about how these places, you know, where they collect dresses and you could get one for free.
Right.
So inspired by her, after her passing and then also volunteering, I found, you know, I started Googling and researching and I found Operation Prom. And what I liked about Operation Prom is that I was able to start my own chapter and still be a part of them on a whole. And
okay.
The founder, Noelle, she's just, when I contacted her, she just made it so easy and so awesome, and it's been such a great experience.
Now, I know you're the director. How many people do you have on your team in your chapter?
Okay, well, in my chapter, I have about, there are probably 8 people that I work with regularly who are like my sister, you know, I have childhood friends and cousins, especially members of my church, Zion Gospel Church, who work with me all the time. They volunteer all the time with me. But then
okay.
Every year, just like when, you know, I contacted you and you wanted to volunteer. We work better and we work more on all the extra volunteers also every year, because now this is our third year. Since the first year, we've had people just come back and come back again. So it's almost like we stayed as one big team.
Great. And let me ask you, I know you said that you normally, I remember I got the email, you said you normally hold the drive in your church, but this time you were moving to a different location.
Yes.
So you've grown over the years. About how many dresses do you receive during the event?
I remember my first year I received between 100 and 150 dresses. Last year, I think we had close to 300 dresses.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, my church has been so great that let us, you know, allow us to have it there. And we were just running out of space.
And this year, how many dresses do you anticipate?
Oh, my gosh. I know we have at least 200 now. And then we are going to be at Queen Center Mall, and they are completely awesome because they offered their space to us. I got word today that there's more dresses. Like, we've kind of inspected the dresses over the last 2 weeks. We go in and kind of see what it is and make sure everything is appropriate and not damaged. And she's like, okay, after we went through those dresses, how about we have some more?
And how many young ladies do you normally have attending the events?
My first year, I think I had about 60 girls show up. And last year is crazy because you'll get, the girls are allowed to, what they have to do is fill out an application in order to attend. And the application is for, you know, their information, the school information, and also our guidance counselor must sign to say that, you know, their grades are good and they are in good standing to attend prom.
Okay.
So they can do that prior to coming. And then some girls, you know, they find out about it last minute. They kind of walk with the application and come. So last year I had like 65 applications ahead of time. And that day I think like 150 girls showed up.
Wow, that's amazing. So let me ask you, if they aren't able to fill out the applications ahead of time, are they still able to come and look for dresses?
Yes, we don't discourage them from coming because, and we get girls, they are so honest. Some have come and said, you know, I just found out about it through a friend, and, you know, we keep applications there, and we'll take down their school information. I'll give them my contact information. And I've had girls have their guidance counselors send me letters the very next, like, school day, like the Monday following, to say, I just want to, you know, let you know that I am, like, signing for them because I know they did receive the dress. Which is great because they're being honest to say, we didn't just want to show up, we're still going to follow up.
Right.
So we have the guidance counselor, okay.
That's great. That's awesome. Now, I know from the organization that I've donated to in the past that a lot of times they have trouble receiving plus-size dresses. So do you find that a problem as well, getting dresses available for the plus-size teens?
Absolutely. We do have that problem. And, you know, we get dresses. We'll get sizes 14 to 18, and then size 18 to, like, 22, they become limited.
Okay.
And, you know, that's how I found you. I started Googling, like, you know, like September, October, I'm like, I got to find out where, like, I got to find, like, maybe a plus-size pageant or something, and I started Googling, and then your name came up. And that's when I was like, okay, she has a Facebook. And then I was like, let me try to reach out to you. And then I've reached out to so many other people. But I am happy that this year, because Queen Central Mall has partnered with us and supported us, they ran an ad in the Daily News for about 3 weeks. And it was awesome. A full page ad. When I went to inspect their dresses, there were so many size 16, size 18, and they were gorgeous gowns. Because sometimes, you know, we get the plus size gowns and they're not all appealing to the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of a little bit more grown up for them.
And I
could always use more, so if anybody has any more between now and Saturday, we'll take them. But the ones we did receive, I was very happy with them because I'm like, these girls are going to love these dresses, and it's a size 18.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear it. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Saturday because tomorrow's the setup day, but Saturday is the day of the actual event. So give us all the details about what's happening Saturday.
Well, before you do that, can Kanye jump on the stage here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I have a co-host.
I'm about to pull a Kanye and jump on the stage and grab a mic. Yeah, I'm going to sit back and just rock it a cut and let y'all do y'all thing. I'm saying, good evening, Candace, since my wife did not want to introduce me.
I did introduce you.
Good
go
evening,
ahead.
Candace. How are we doing, Doc?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great. And it is tremendous what you're doing for the ladies. I'm sitting there like, oh, y'all just go ahead. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm having a ball in the room right now talking. No, I wanted to ask the question. What I wanted to ask the question is, and Tiff's kind of stole it with sizes for folks of size. But my biggest thing is, what has been your most memorable moment since you've taken on this venture?
I think one of my most memorable moments was last year. We actually, you know, and it was funny because last year I was like pregnant, and I'm like 7 months pregnant. And I'm running back and forth, and it was such a, like, of course, a busy and tiring day. We're actually boxing up the dresses, taking
mm-hmm.
down the racks and putting the dresses in boxes. And we were done, and we had one person come in. And I remember receiving her applications, because after you start looking through all the applications, you kind of remember all the names. And when she
mm-hmm.
came in, her name was Priya. I remember her name, and she had a disability. And she, you know, was having trouble walking, and her mom was walking her in. And she was like, oh, I know I'm late. And, you know, she's walking, you know, taking her time because she couldn't walk that fast. And she was like, you know, can we still come? And I'm like, sure, sure. And it took her a little bit of time because we have a lot of, you know, a set of stairs in my church. And when she came down, we, you know, asked her a size, and she was just like, I don't know, you know, because she had never tried on a dress or gown before.
Wow.
And we kind of just looked at her. You know, my volunteers, they were great. They were like, okay, I think she's like maybe a 10. And we tried to find a box with all the 10s. We pulled out dresses. And one of my volunteers pulled out one dress. And her mother helped her into it. We tried to help as much as, you know, we could. And her mother just looked at her. She was like, oh, my goodness, my daughter looks so pretty. And
wow.
she just had this glow to her face. And she was the last person of the day. When we're like boxing everything, and she said, we asked her, do you want jewelry? And she just kept saying, I don't know, because she had never dressed up before, and she just
wow.
had a glow to her face. And when she left, we all felt like the goosebumps, and we were like,
nice.
You know, for all of the girls today, we were so happy and blessed that we could help them. But that one made our day.
Nice. You know what? Mm-hmm. Well, let's take this quick moment. Give everybody your information, because I'm going to ask you a question about the topic of the night, which is communication, because it seems like the ladies are jumping me in the room here. They're talking about how women rules. I said I was going to do my Kanye thing and grab a mic. But before we go any further, tell everybody how they can support you, how they can reach you. Give them everything, because we're going to come back and give it to them again. But give them everything so they can know what's going on and how to find you and reach you and do everything with you.
No problem. This Saturday, March 16th, the Operation Prom Queens Dress Giveaway will be at Queens Center Mall, 90-15 Queens Boulevard. We will be located on the lower level, Macy's Wing, next to Time Warner Cable. And we'll be there from 12 noon to 4 p.m. If anyone wants to donate a dress, they can contact me at my email address, which is Candace, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, at help.prom.org. And if they know of any young lady who may be interested in receiving a free prom gown, they can go to www.helpprom.org.
Nice, nice. So
now
I'm sorry,
honey, before we ask the question about the topic of the evening, Candace, I wanted to ask you, because I did visit the website, and I understand that you're doing a donation drive for one of the high schools in Far Rockaway that was affected by Hurricane Sandy. So could you give some information about that as well?
Yes, yes. We are doing a fundraiser campaign for Channelview High School for Research, located in the Rockaways. our founder, Noelle, she wanted to, her and the board members wanted to help a school in Far Rockaway. And, you know, they sat down and came together and they chose Channelview. And what we are going to do is we're raising funds to fund their entire prom. And not only are we trying to fund their entire prom, we have offered the boys all free tux rentals with a partnership with Men's Warehouse.
Wow.
Yes, and all the young ladies are invited to the dress giveaway Saturday. And I've received, I don't even have a count of how many applications I received just for Channelview for those young ladies. So,
that's amazing. That's awesome.
And they're an awesome set of students.
These are the things that you got to get behind. If you're listening to Candace right now, these are the things that you got to get behind. Real people doing real things, because so many people need help in so many ways, and you'll be surprised how the littlest thing can change someone's life. So please support these efforts. Come out and support what she's doing, because these are the things that we really have to get behind. So now,
Candace, let me ask,
because again, the women are getting on me in the group here. So I'm going to let me ask you a question about communication, because that's really what we've been talking about tonight. How important is communication to you in relationships that either you're in now or have been in?
It's funny you brought that up. Me and my husband actually have been talking about communication this week.
Okay.
Yes, yes. We've been married this year, be 5 years, and, you know, we're still working on it.
Congratulations.
We're still working on it. Thank you so much. And, you know, it can be difficult when you have two different people, you have two different minds, and you're trying to, you know, something I've said that means one way to me obviously can come across totally different to the other person on the receiving end.
Mm.
So it's a constant work in progress, where you want to stop in the middle of anything, like whether it's a disagreement or an argument, and we were speaking about, like, how do we just, you know, in the middle of it, let's just stop and try to say, okay, if this is what I'm really trying to say, what are you really trying to say? So it doesn't go, you know, it doesn't go too far with the wrong intentions coming across.
Right.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's so important.
I'm glad that you said that, because that reiterates something that Tiff and I had said earlier. And it's great hearing it from another married couple, because couples need to understand that it is a work in progress. Nothing happens overnight. Everything is going to be good days, going to be bad days. But the key is to have more good days than bad days. And great communication helps build those good days. And so I'm really glad that you offered what you and your husband are going through. Well, before we let you go, one time again, slowly, because you know some folks don't text that well, type that well, or write that fast. Tell them all your information, where you're going to be located tomorrow, Saturday, and anywhere else. Feel free to give it all to them again, because, again, we want to thank you for coming on, but we'll thank you probably after you're done. Go ahead and give them all your information.
Okay. The Queen's Free Prom Dress Giveaway will be at Queens Central Mall. They are located at 90-15 Queens Boulevard. We'll be there from 12 noon to 4 p.m., the lower level Macy's Wing next to Time Warner Cable. If you need to contact me, my email is Candace, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, at helpprom.org. And if you want any information regarding Channelview High School donations, dress donations, as well as a young lady that may need a gown, you can visit www.helpprom.org. Also, you can email me if you know of a young man who would need a tuxedo, because we do also the free tuxedo rentals for the young men with Men's Warehouse.
Very nice. Candace, we want to thank you for coming on Reality and Relationships. I'm so glad that you found my wife and you two were able to connect, and I hope it grows into a very good partnership. And I do
Definitely. Hope
that you'll tune in every Thursday and tell folks to tune in, because we're trying to build something here at GQ Palace Radio. And if you have something that you need to plug, get in touch with us. We'll let you come on and do shameless plugs. So this is what we do, because we want to support everything that you're doing. We want to support everything that you're doing, because you're doing some real good work. And as a mentor myself, I know what that's like working with kids, and I know what that's like working with young folks who need it. So I just want to tell you from me, and I know Tiff has something to say, I want to say thank you for coming on, and thank you for everything that you're doing. I'm sure the Lord will continue to bless you and your husband and the young folks that you work with. Tiff.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you so much. I thank you for reaching out to me, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to volunteer for the event because I'm so looking forward to it. You have no idea. My heart is so filled. So I will see you tomorrow after work.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Candace, everyone. Candace. Now, normally we take a break, but we're not going to take a break. We're going to go right into our second guest. Now, I'm going to tell you now, gentlemen, be ready, because when you say diva, and I know we got some divas in the chat room or divas on the page. Here's another diva. I see I'm going to have to pull a Kanye tonight because her and Tiff will get to talking and forget that I'm here. So, Tiff, I'll let you bring her in, but we're going to have to rope her in early.
Okay.
So go ahead and introduce who's coming in.
Our second guest caller is Andreen Williams, who is the founder of a nonprofit organization here in Queens called Lady Dove Self-Enrichment. And I met Andreen about 5 years ago when I was modeling more regularly. We met each other at a fashion show, I believe. And I was transitioning from modeling to pageantry. And everyone knows in pageantry, you need a social cause. And I always tell everyone that I'm the champion of everyone's cause because I've worked for autism, I've worked for MS, I've raised funds for so many different events and helped people with different events, but I needed to focus in on one particular organization to say, this is who I would like to back. And Andreen had her own organization, so I contacted her. I said, listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm running for this pageant, but I would like to have your organization as my platform. And we've been friends ever since. I mean, not just with the Lady Doves, but even outside of Lady Doves, Andreen is an awesome person. So, Andreen, are you there? Andreen,
you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Ms. Williams?
Yes, I am here, the one and only Andreen, Lady Doves Diva. Hello.
Lord. How we doing, Lord? Hold on. Let me get my little hellos in now before you and Tiff act like I'm not in the room. So let me get mine in now. How you doing, Andreen? How you been, darling?
I am simply marvelous. You know, Keith, there's so much stuff that's been going on, you know, but...
Talk about my government name again. We're going to end this interview.
Oh, I am so... Well, hold on. Well, you call her Tiffany, so why we can't call you by your name?
Because I'm an author.
He's an author. He's K.L. Delvin.
I'm sorry. I didn't get that email.
Yeah, I got stalkers. They're trying to find out where Tiff and I live at.
Oh, my gosh. You are so crazy. I'm sorry, K.L. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That sounds better, especially from a sexy woman. And, yes, I can flirt with Andreen because my wife does allow that. And if you've ever been by Andreen's page, she is not shy with her pictures. So I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh,
you will
God.
See a new photo every 3 minutes.
What? No, I got to let these ladies know. Okay. I got to let you ladies know, you know, yes, you're full figure, you're curvy, you know me, embrace who you are and love who you are. I have to live by example. So by putting my pictures up there, I'm letting them know that, yes, I'm you know, I'm there. Curvy,
gotcha,
sexy, gotcha. Sassy. Well, hello. Well.
Yes, buddy. We know sexy, yardy woman I know. So listen, tell them who you are, what you do, and let them really feel the experience, because we know who you are and what you do. Let everybody listening know exactly what you do, love, and who you are.
Okay. Well, my mission first started out being the product of a single parent. I knew that one day I wanted to start an organization where I'd be able to give back to the youth in the community. So about 5 years ago, 5 years, July 11th of this year, make officially 5 years that Z-Doves have been doing the things that they're doing for the community. And so, basically, I got a couple of my friends together, and I told them what my vision was. And we would do after-school program, mentoring, tutoring, career advisement, and job preparation skills. So, you know, here I am with this big vision and didn't have any idea how I was going to go about manifesting it. But when you believe and you have faith, things just happen to work itself out. So me being a businesswoman I am, went to a couple of friends of mine, and I told them what the concept was, and they joined me. They definitely came on board, and we just started doing our fundraisers, and we just started raising our own money, because at that time, a lot of people who's into the nonprofit organization realized that there wasn't a lot of funding available, so the only way for you to maintain your business was for you to do your own fundraisers. So we started doing that, and right now, we're just out there. We're working at a school called PS38, and we've been doing a lot of collaboration with other nonprofit organizations as well. Special thank you to Councilman Leroy Comrie and William Scarborough and Latasha from Occasions. Those three people right there has been so instrumental in letting Lady Dellas do the things that they need to do in the community. And New York One, I have to give a shout-out to New York One. They always held me down as well. So, as a matter of fact, on April 14, we're having our yearly Young, Gifted, and Talented Showcase fundraiser.
I just want to say
that when I first came on board with the Lady Doves, I didn't get to tiptoe in, and Dream threw me headfirst into the deep end of the pool. She said, okay, so you're going to be I was the model organizer of the youth talent, gifted talent event. And I'm thinking, she's really going to put all that responsibility on me? I was scared to death. But it worked out, and I had fun. And I've been doing, how many times? I've done it 3 times now?
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to this year, too.
Exactly. See, Tiff, I know you can handle it. I know who's who. So I just said, Tiffany, this is your job. Because it's a lot to handle. And I know you had that pageantry, you had that modeling skill down pat. So who else was the best person to have in my corner? Hello. Okay.
There you go.
So it's going down April 14th at Occasion Banquet in Caden Hall, 12708 Merrick Boulevard. It's our, fourth or fifth and Young, Gifted, and Talented. We have some awesome talent coming out. You have L.A. Sosterio coming out. You have the Going Brothers. You have First Class Global, Ashley Marie. I mean, the talent is phenomenal. And then we also have some young designers that's coming out as well. We have Tracy coming out. We have Becky from Jenka Clothing. We have FJC Collections coming out. We have Darlene, who's been with me for a long time and still there with me. I mean, I'm just really looking forward to this event. And then our little divas, wait till you see the little kids come out with their tutus and they rip the runway. Oh, my goodness. April 14th is going down. Tickets are $25, and tickets are also available on Eventbrite. But if you want to find more information about that, you can send me an email at LadyDelfs_1@yahoo.com. But wait, everyone. There's more to me. That's just a little part.
Hey, Kanye, I ain't mad at you, Brad. Do you think?
You know what's funny? They're in the group saying, what's her name again?
you know, my name is Andreen. I'm on Facebook as Andreen Lady Doves Williams. You know, connect with me on Facebook because I guarantee you'll never be bored. Okay? The next chapter of my life, I decided to start this entertainment management group called Phoenix. Now, my business partner is called Reba Perry. Reba Perry is my, what we call, a.k.a. Road Dog. We travel all over, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, you name it, we're there. Now, Phoenix houses dancers, designers, models, and artists. So we attend local showcases and deal a lot of these artists out there. And, you know, a lot of times the music industry could be very conniving. So we take them under our wings and help them get the publicity and get the skills that they need to maybe land that contract one day. So we have connections with A&Rs, with different kind of labels. It's been phenomenal. At least once a Sunday a month, we go to a showcase and judge. And also, shout out to Big Cal and shout out to Anthony Jones and Calvin Stevens from Warner Brothers and Donovan from Universal Music. Yes, I'm throwing it all out there. If you're an artist and you're interested in getting some connection, hit me up at phoenixemg@gmail.com. Phoenix, phoenixemg@gmail.com. That's the music inside of me. Oh, I'm not done yet.
We have a question for you. One of the questions in the group was, what made you start your organization? I know you said it earlier. Tell them again what made you start your organization.
What made me start my organization was I remember we was a low-income family. We came from Jamaica. We was living in Russia. And my mother kudos to her, was a single parent. And I remember some of the resources that we needed were so hard to find. When you don't know where to find things at, you're left out in the dark.
Yeah.
So I remember, there was a lot of tutoring. We couldn't get help with. There's so many things that we couldn't get help with. So I was like, this is ridiculous. I need to do something about this because I'm the kind of person, I don't just talk about it, I be about it. We can't all sit on the sideline and talk about a problem if we're not willing to invest into a solution.
Without question. And I'm going to tell anybody listening, let me tell you one thing about Andreen. Tiffany, I love her for this reason, is that she's not just talk. She's about making things happen. And when you go look at her pictures, you will see she's all over the place. And she does a lot of different things. And a good thing that people can take from who Andreen is and what she does is, it's not about holding it all for herself. She's always giving. And if you ever want to go to an event that is really going to move you, her talent show with these young folks, and I say this all the time and I'll say it again, one of my former students, I remember when I used to sit and talk with her how she was so down on herself, she wouldn't even take her sweater off to show her arms, even if it meant her getting detention. So first I introduced her to Tiff, and then Tiff introduced her to Andreen, and they basically took her under her wing, under the Lady Dove's wings. And let me tell you something. Not only did she come up out of the sweater, now she went from the sweater to modeling to where you can't put the sweater back on. And the good thing about that is when you take women who want to give back to girls, and those girls get to see what real mature women look like, act like, sound like, and then they have an opportunity to showcase themselves in a professional, refreshing, mature way. Ain't no booties hanging out. Ain't no breasts hanging out. Ain't no pants sagging. None of that. The way that young folks should be seen and the way that older folks should be role models is all encompassed in what Andreen does on a regular basis. So when you say, well, wow, KL's just letting her go in, yes. Because this young lady here is somebody that a lot of people need to get to know, because we need more young ladies like this woman here, because she is pure energy. And she's going to find a way to try to make it happen because she's not doing it for herself. So I really want folks to listen to everything that she's saying and why she's giving you all these. She's not just dropping names for the sake that you'll go, ooh, is she really important? No, it's because each of those names holds a door open that she's trying to hold open for somebody else to walk through. As Tiff told you, she said, go ahead, use the name of the organization to do what you do. But then Tiff gave back by becoming the Lady Dove, and then they gave back by helping one of my students. Now, if you're not paying attention, that's how this works.
There was a question posted on a group, Andreen. Where do you see the Lady Dove organization for the future?
You know, where I like to see Lady Dove's organization is everywhere. Every country, every state, international, everywhere, because there's youth all over, and people need to really band together and form more organizations like Lady Dove and help the youth. They need our support. You know, we sit there all the time, and I told New York One once, New York One, I made a comment to them one day. When our kids do negative things, the camera is left and right all in their face. But when they do something positive in the community, it's so hard to find a news reporter to come take pictures of that. So
right.
I would love to have an organization like Lady Dove International everywhere. It's needed all over. So that's my vision, is to just spread it, expand it, make it be like a virus, be all over.
Very nice. Now, I got to ask you. The question tonight, we've been talking about communication.
Wait. KL,
yes.
They will kill me. My UBM models will kill me if I don't give them a shout-out. So may I have a shout-out?
Go right ahead.
Now, the last part to me, but definitely not the end, because I'm always transforming. When it comes to self-esteem is not just something that affects the youth. It affects everyone. So I took my ideas to the next step, and I formed an organization called Unique Blend Models. Unique Blend Models caters to women that size 8 and up. And basically, what it means that we're all unique. We're all individual. And this is what the concept of us is. We come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. And when we come together, we blend beautifully. It's about uniting, empowering, and supporting women of size. That's Unique Blend Models. And we started in New York. And then in November of last year, with less than 6 months, we extended our services to Philly, and we're about to go to North Carolina. So, women, all my sisters out there, if you're looking for a positive organization to join, and let us help you love yourself, and we're going to show you how to do that, because we do it just right. And if
you there was another question. You got them buzzing. Right. I got another question, darling. They said, how did you come up with the name Lady Doves?
Because I researched what doves meant. Doves meant new beginning. It means peace. It meant serenity. It meant life. And even after a person passed away, they let the doves go. It just means that they sent it into heaven. So I love the concept of what the doves represented. And since we was all ladies at the time, I blended two together to form Lady Dove.
Very nice. Okay, so now I got to ask you, because you know, you're a strong woman. And we done had many conversations, so ain't no weak man. Don't get next to Ms. Williams. We've established that on many conversations. So a weak dude don't even need to step up and be like, hey, baby, you got to be ready.
That's
so
right.
Communication, how important, or give us your thoughts on communication in a relationship, Bob.
Well, communication could make or break a relationship. And one thing we have to understand is every word has different meanings.
Yes.
In order for us to properly communicate, we have to make sure that we both use the same meaning. And people got to understand, while one person's talking, someone has to be listening. But not only are you listening, but you have to comprehend, break it down, and never be afraid to say, what do you mean? Because I'm good with that. What do you mean? But, you know, people don't understand the importance of what communication. It really could make or break it. And it's something that we really don't do a lot of. We assume that the person automatically knows what we're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking if you tell me. So, you know, it's very important that we express to each other what we mean, and we make sure the person that we're expressing to understands, not only hear us, but understand exactly what we're trying to say.
Very nice.
Right.
And you know,
right.
guys, if you're listening, on her page, on Andree's page, she'll post questions. And she's not scared to give her opinions, whether you agree, disagree, whatever. She'll go in, and she's open for a good debate. Now, she's not stupid. You heard her. She's an intelligent woman. And so she expects that back. And the great thing about when you can converse with someone who's intelligent, you learn as the conversation is going. And I've been lucky enough to be a guest on her radio show when she had me come on. And every time I've got a chance to share with her and then the young ladies that were on with her, anytime you put strong, intelligent folks together and have conversations, there's going to be some learning, and the Lord can flow straight through that and allow himself to be seen in those around. So I really want to tell anybody listening, please support this young woman. Please support the things that she's doing. I can personally say I have seen her change the life of someone who I know was heading in a direction that would have met with some real negative things. And having the support of strong women like Tiff and Andreen has changed her life simply because now she has women that she can go to. Now, it doesn't mean she hasn't made mistakes. We all do. But the fact that she now has strong sounding boards, she didn't make those mistakes greater than they would have been. And I think that's where us as the men and women who are older than our kids coming up, whether they're yours or not, you've got to reach back and be able to hold the hand of somebody who needs it just to be able to say, let's talk. And Adrene does that tremendously because all of her young men and women that come through those doors know how to act because she's not having it. And that is what we need. And this is very important. So before we let you go, love, please let everybody know where they can reach you. And don't you give all those names again. You give them the immediate website and the immediate email and give them the name of the organization. And then they can write you and get all that information that you gave them earlier. Go ahead, darling.
Okay.
Hold on. We got a call on the line for you. Hold on 1 second. Don't you go nowhere. Hold that thought.
Wow, somebody wants to talk to Andreen. Hey, how about that?
Right, they're talking to KL and Tim. This is Andreen's show. Tell Claire, is there Kim Rock? We got a call on the line?
Hello.
Is that KY?
Am I speaking to Andreen right now?
Well, yeah, so hold on, KY.
KI?
Is this KY?
This is KI.
Okay, Kai, how you doing? You gotta come on and say hello. You gotta come on and say hello to the host first.
I'm sorry. So who's the host?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. I'm
speaking to. Allow me to introduce myself. I am KL Belvin, and that's my wife Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and
we're the host
of Relationships.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm well. It's nice to speak to both of you.
Thank you for calling now. Would you like to keep doing the Kanye and talk to Andreen?
You know, here I am. I'm about to grab the mic from your hand as you stand there, and I'm going to say hello to Andreen.
Go ahead and do your Kanye thing. Andreen's on the phone. Go ahead and do your thing.
Hi, Kai.
Hi, Andreen. You sound great.
Oh, thank you. Kai's one of my UBM models. You see, all the way from Philly, show me some love.
All the way from Philly, yes, representing very much.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going down to South Street in a couple. Anyway, I don't want to talk about.
I just wanted to call up and give some support. Listen up, you know, see what the show was about.
Oh, thank you, Kai.
We hope you tune back in and get to know who the hosts are.
Yes, I'm going to go online once I get off and see and look you guys up and see, and you could do the same. Also, I actually have an online show. It's the Smooches Show, so you're more than welcome to look me up also.
Oh,
and I'm definitely going to look you up and see about you guys and tune in next time.
Gotcha. We appreciate it. But no, that's what it's about. We're here every Thursday. We're here every Thursday from 8 to 10, so we hope that you tune back in. We're going to be bringing wonderful guests like Adreen and Candace, who was on earlier. And we're big supporters of folks that are doing positive things. So definitely reach out and hit us up. If you have some things that you want to promote, hit us up. We can maybe have you come on as a guest in the future. We have no problem with that. What it's about, just as we said at the beginning of the show, it's about relationships, but it's all types of relationships. Networking is a relationship.
Right.
And proper networking is the idea of creating a win-win. Most people don't understand that because a lot of times they're looking at networking as a one-sided venture. When you look at networking as a win-win, where you're trying to actually create for the person that you want to do business with as well as yourself, you come out well ahead. So we have no problem with that. So do you want to ask us anything? Oh, well, while we got you on the line, let me ask you this.
Yes.
How important, give us your thoughts on communication in a relationship.
Communication in a relationship is very important. Communication is right up there with consistency. I'm big on consistency. I like if you say you're going to do it, for you to do it. And if it's something that you start out doing, don't change later and not do it. That goes in line with communication. So communication can make or break a relationship.
Very nice. Very nice. And that's the second time we heard that. Actually, third time we heard that. And let me tell you something. I appreciate that, Kai, because when other folks hear it from different people, they can start to understand the importance of communication. As I started to show off, I explained that for Tiff and I, we know that trust and communication are two of the anchors in any relationship, and we got that. But communication is one that if it's not handled correctly, the devastation may be such that you may not be able to repair the relationship if you let certain things come out your mouth or you don't let certain things come out your mouth. You can end your relationship in such a way that you may not be able to get it back to where it could have been.
Exactly.
So,
the tongue can be very powerful.
Definitely. And so, listen, we appreciate you calling in. So we're going to get ready to fold this up. So, again, please do not make this a one-time visit because the dream is on, because then I'm going to come to one of your events and you're going to see this angry, bald-headed big man. And I'm going to say, hey, you called in.
No.
I'm going to grab the mic and start performing poetry. You're going to say, who that? It's Kanye, it's Chubby Kanye. That's what I'm going to call
myself. Don't let him sneak up on me, Andrew.
I got you back.
I'll be back here next Thursday. I will be back listening.
Chubby Kanye will be in Philly with a cheesesteak in one hand, my poetry book in the next one, and I'll be on stage. That's what I'm talking about. And no cheeses either. Provolone, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy, yeah, you got
there. I grew up in South Jersey, right across the bridge from Philly. Trust me, I spent many nights in Philly. We can talk. Thank you, Kai.
All right, you guys. Thank you for having me. It was nice talking to you all, and I will tune in next week.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Have a good night.
Give them your information, Dal, before we let you go. Give them your information, baby.
Once again, it's Andrea Lady Del Williams. You can reach me anything regarding the youth nonprofit is LadyDel_1@yahoo.com. Anything regarding the music and artists is PhoenixEMG@gmail.com. Anything regarding being a 21 and older, size 8 and up model is UniqueBlends@gmail.com. And one more thing, too. If you think about starting a business or you want to do an LLC, an S-Corp, or a nonprofit, or a trademark, hit me up as well. I do that, too. I'm a woman, a Jane Paul trade.
See, that's a true Jamaican right there. 17,000 hats.
Big up. Respect to all the Jamaican people there. Muffin, yeah? One love, yeah?
Thank you so much, darling. Listen, Tiff is going to call you later. You know that. Thank you so much for coming on, darling.
Thank you for having me. And I will definitely be tuning in on Thursdays, you know, see what you guys talk about and chime in for a few, you know, show some love. And thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless, dog. Good luck with everything.
Good night.
One love. I appreciate you.
Well, Tiff, we're not done yet. We are not done yet. It looks like we might be going over tonight. We got to bring in the woman that has called in on every show that we have done. Yeah. And it's the one regular, a few regulars that we have. T is on the line. Is that T on the line?
Hello, fam.
We have been calling every week, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up,
how you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Good.
I just got my Kanye on. I wasn't playing, man. They just told me went in with the interview with Candace. Forgot I was here.
I was giving the mic back. Jump in. I didn't forget about you. I just thought you would jump in.
It's all. You know what? I'll wait for you guys.
We appreciate it. We've been having a ball in the Facebook group too, so we've been going back and forth. So
exactly.
It worked out perfectly. So listen, I got you on the line. I gotta ask you because you heard the conversation tonight. Because it turns like it seems like everyone now wants to call in, which is cool. So let me ask you why I got you on the line before we go to another caller. You heard us talk about communication. Tell us your thoughts on communication, because you always have some great points of view, because from your young lady being a prostitute last week, that just shook me up. I was still laughing after we got off. Preacher by day, prostitute at night. So.
Communication
so
is a
must.
Tell us
your thoughts on communication, Doc.
Communication is a must. I mean, number one, foremost, trust, all of that, it's a must. If you don't have communication, you're not going nowhere.
No.
Honestly, it's not going to go anywhere with whatever you're trying to build. So get your communication correct, because see, if you're not communicating with me, then it's not about anything.
When you
start the lack of communication, I'm going to either figure you either out here doing something else. You know, don't come to me like, oh, babe, you know, the phone wasn't, working or whatever. No. It's too many types of communication, so don't come at me incorrect.
Either communicate
with me or don't communicate with me at all.
That is true. I mean,
you
really
know, you got cell phones, you got home phones, you know, you got the web. So there's no excuse.
Yeah, and you know, you can borrow a charger nowadays, so you can't even front and say you didn't
have
a charger.
Thank you. You know, and a lot of people don't even have house phones no more.
Yeah, we don't. We got rid of ours.
Well, I ain't got rid of mine yet. Because, see, I want you to know, you can communicate with me through the landline, cell phone,
the
computer. There's no excuse. You can't give me that. It's no excuse.
That's true.
And the only reason I got my home phone is because it was a package deal, but that's neither here nor there.
And you know what's funny?
You can even set up a call.
You can even set up a phone line through Google. So even if you just have a phone,
you can set up
a phone number, voicemail, and use Google as a phone if you need to.
There you go. Even if you don't have a cell phone.
Exactly. You can still use Google, which means you can go to a cafe and make a phone call.
You cannot come up with no excuse for communication.
I got you. Got you.
If well, you can't
T, anybody listening, tell them about your show, T, because you're also, we're part of the family now. Tell them about your show.
On Wednesdays, every single Wednesday, from 7 to 9, we've changed our time from 8 to 10 to 7 to 9. You can get in with the Diva Squad, which is myself and Rachel. We go in big. We do big things. We do grown and sexy topics. Play the best slow jams. So make sure you tune in every Wednesday from 7 to 9.
And she is part of the GQ Palace Radio family. And let me tell you something. She has called in every week that we've been on, and she's an outstanding person to come on and talk because she doesn't hold her tongue, and we respect that. And I'm going to tell you something, and I've listened to her show. They go in. They really converse about a lot of things.
Thank you.
And this is what it's about. It's about being able to share with each other, and it's about coming on and getting good radio from real people. You know, sometimes, and I'm not knocking radio that's on other places. I'm not going to do that. But sometimes folks are so worried about folks that's putting money in their pocket, they don't keep it real. They'll say what's politically correct. They're scared to say some things that might ruffle some feathers. With GQ Palace Radio, the one thing I've noticed with all the hosts, they keep it very real from where they're coming from. They explain themselves well, and you will enjoy yourself with any of the shows Monday. I think Saturday is the only day that there's no show,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So there's still 6 days a week, so no excuses about days off, anything else, whatever. There's a show on whatever night you're off, and you can go back and listen to the archives. So no excuses about paying attention to the shows, not just this one, all of them. So see, we're gonna let you go simply because we have Rachel on. She's gonna come in right behind you.
Thank you, guys. I love you.
Thank you for calling in.
All right.
So we got Rachel coming on. We're going past 10 tonight. That's good. This is what I'm talking about. Reality and relationships. It's about communication. Rachel, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hey, Rachel.
Evening,
how
Rachel.
Are you?
Hi. I am fine. How are you two doing?
Good.
I listened to the show tonight, and I loved the show. I love listening to you, too.
Oh, thank you.
I get
thank you so much.
Much. So much out of the show. God bless the two of you. I'm just passing by, showing some love.
Thank you so much. And Rachel, you happen to be a radio show host too, correct?
Yes, I'm part of the Diva Squad on Wednesday night. Yes,
okay.
I am.
Let them know.
I'm the co-host of T, and our show airs on Wednesday night from 7 to 9. Those who are listening, you can also tune in. Dial the same number. Press 1 if you want to get in. Thanks for letting me get my little shout-out on. You two have a wonderful evening, and I love you.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to anybody that's listening right now on phone, here's your opportunity. Press 1. Give the host a chance to cue you in if you have any questions before we get ready to close this up, because I know we did say we're going to go to some questions and we didn't get a chance to, and we've gotten permission that we can go over a little bit tonight if need be. So here's your opportunity. If you want to speak to Tiff and I before we shut this down, please do so. Just press 1 on your phone. If you're listening from your computer and you want to call in, the number is 646-200-3838. And then just dial 1 on your phone to let the host know that you want to come on and say something about communication, or just let us know what you think about the show. So, baby.
Yes, sir.
We're waiting for folks to make up their mind whether they want to come in and join us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Communication. It seems like there's an underlying theme that everyone agrees that without it, the relationship is dead.
That's true. It makes me wonder, how come we all are not communicating better?
Well, I don't think it was something that's taught, and I know in homes of color, because I see it with families. Like, I'll give you an example of today in school.
Hello.
I told a young lady, don't cut the teacher off when he's speaking. Let him finish, and then I'll talk to you. And she got emotional. And then she sucked her teeth, stomped her feet. And I said, what is the matter with you? I wanted to hear what you had to say. I said, yes, but you were being disrespectful to the teacher. He's standing right there. He's speaking. And she huffed and she puffed. And so I said, wait a minute. Now, you're out of place now. You're a child. That's a grown man. You need to stay in a child's place. She sucked her teeth again. So I said, okay, you know what? When your mother was up here, I didn't see any of this behavior. We need to get mom on the phone. So the minute that I said I wanted to speak to her mother, she reacted in such a negative way that she gets on her cell phone. I said, well, you can call mom for your cell phone. She called Uncle, Little Petey, the hamburger dude, the pizza shop. She called everybody but mom. And then when she's on the phone, I think talking to Uncle, I think I said four times, may I have the phone, please? May I have the phone, please? May I have the phone, please? May I have the phone? And she continued to talk as if I wasn't speaking. Then I heard her say, well, he's trying to say I'm acting grown, and can you come up here, this and this and this. Now, what kids need to learn about me, I ain't no punk. You can bring up anybody you want.
She's getting her uncle on you, honey. She's getting her uncle.
Well, not like that. Well, because me and the uncle already been through that, because she called the uncle before, and he came up as a smaller big dude and thought that he could be intimidating until he met a bigger dude. And
okay.
Then when he came up, he was real burly, real like, yo, where my niece? I was like, yo, sit down and take your hat and rag off when you come into my room. That's how we did that. So the communication that I gave back is, you don't really want this.
Right.
So the idea is, so the uncle came up and he remembered who he was dealing with. He said, what's up, big bro? Now I'm big bro. No problem. Communication is clear. I said, your niece is out of pocket. But the reason why I'm glad you're here is we got to fix this, because if she's going to continue to act like this, it's going to be a problem outside of this building. Not inside. Outside. Uncle agreed. But then when she went back into the other room, the uncle said, early in the year when she was living with the father and us, everything was cool. Once she went home to live with her mother, that's where that behavior came from. And it made me start to think about something that you and I had talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay attention to our parents and how they're raising, how they raise us.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of that is still in there, good and bad.
Right.
And you can't get away from who raised you, because some of that is in there. And if you don't catch it or acknowledge it, then you're going to find yourself not only speaking like your parents, you might actually find yourself being as destructive to yourself as your parents might have been to each other or in other relationships.
Right.
And it was so evident, because the teacher did say to him, you know what, you're right, because up until December, she was one of my best students, but since December, she's been falling off. And it was from December that she went to go live with the mother.
Wow. Wow.
And communication is so evident, especially with dealing with children. It's what helps me when I go out to deal with other individuals. And that's because I understand what the situation is. Well, we got Lavina. Are you there on the line? Come on in.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Lavina. How are you?
Hey, how's everybody?
All right. Good.
Seems like we're going over 10 tonight, so come on and join in and tell us what your thoughts are. I know you must have something to say about communication.
Well, yeah, I just think that it's very, very important. But I do have a question about communication.
Sure, go ahead.
Earlier in the show, I don't know which one, but somebody had mentioned that with communication, you know, if you say, okay, you're going to work past something, then don't bring it back up. But what happens if the same thing keeps reoccurring? Do you bring it up after it was addressed, or do you just become silent and don't say anything?
Let me take this over?
Yeah.
See, because the reason why I asked it, it's because Tiff and I, we deal with things a little bit differently, and I'm the proactive one, and Tiff is kind of the laissez-faire, casual one. First of all, if that's the case, then it was never really dealt with.
Right.
Dealt with means completed, dealt. It was done.
You found the resolution.
Exactly. So there'd be no reason to bring it back to the table. Now, if the same thing continues to happen, and as a former cheater, one of the things that I can honestly say is my words would say, yes, baby, I love you. Yes, baby, I want to be with you. But my actions still have me doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. At some point, I had to check me so my words and actions lined up.
Okay.
So if the person is still doing, then that means they really haven't come to that place of resolution to where they're willing to let go of whatever it is that they're getting from what they're doing that is creating a negative situation between y'all in the relationship. Now, somebody has to be honest. Now, that goes back to truth, is that someone has to be truthful with themselves and say, you know what, either I have a problem or either I don't really see it the way you see it, but either way. And this is why when we said earlier, one of the points that we talked about is conversation has to be like water. Words have to flow and not be blocked. You both must feel comfortable with speaking on any and every subject. So that means if something is hurting you and your significant other has not fixed it, yes, you bring it back to the table because it's hurting you. But if his actions or her actions don't seem to line up with what y'all are trying to put in place, then it might be time to seek a separation or something else because the person is obviously not getting it and the communication is now blocked like a dam.
Right.
And when you dam water, the water will continue to build up until either you build a greater dam or the water is released all over and destroys everything around it.
There's a question in the group from Deborah. She said, how many times do you bring it to the table? And it's funny because it reminds me when KL and I, we live on our own in Brooklyn. We had an apartment together. Now we live with our family, but when we live in on our own, when I know he's gonna kill me for bringing this up, but there were times where he would iron his clothes and he wouldn't unplug the iron. He would leave the iron plugged in because we had one of those irons that automatically turned off, which is cool. It's supposed to be a safety feature so that it doesn't cause a fire. But I was from the old school. My parents, my grandparents taught me when you finish ironing, you pull the plug out the wall so that the electricity is not continuously running through whatever is plugged in. But KL, he would argue me down and say, oh, no, it automatically shuts off. There's no problem. Well, one day we were home and KL happened to be in the front of the apartment and I started walking to the back of the apartment where our bedroom is. And I heard a pop and a sizzle. And I wasn't sure what it was. And I started seeing a little bit of smoke. And what happened is the iron was plugged in. And on the cord was a bag of clothes. And when I pulled the clothes bag up, the iron, whatever spark occurred, whatever current went through the iron cord, it had completely burned a hole in the cord. And if I happened not to be in the room at the time, that spark would have caught the clothes on fire. So people say, how many times do you need to bring it to the table? Sometimes you need to bring it to the table every single time. Because God forbid if the fire would have got out of control, or if it would have been a big fire, we would have lost our apartment, probably lost our lives. There are things that you need to bring to the table all the time, especially when it comes to safety. But I don't believe in nagging. So there are certain things that, no, you leave it alone. If you see that it's something that can be detrimental to you, you definitely want to bring it to the table. I don't know if Kale agrees.
I agree, but let me jump in and just add a little something, too. And when you say leave it alone, it doesn't mean ignore. Leave it alone means maybe step back, get a little better insight, figure out a different tactical way to come at it. You know, retreat is a military term, meaning to get back, let's regroup, figure out what we lost, figure out what we need, and then let's go back to war. It doesn't mean quit. So sometimes you have to understand that retreat does not mean that you're giving up. It means that you're stepping back to get your bearing, and then you might have to ask yourself, is this relationship worth this headache? And if it is, then don't think about it again. Now find a new way. Second is the trust factor has to come in. Do you trust me? Yes, why, baby? I do. Okay. I'm unhappy right now. What do you mean? Now's your opportunity, using your words, as we have learned in grade school, to explain it, but try to leave the emotion as best you can so you can get the words out. Even if you got to write them down and just read them off the paper. Get it out first, then discuss it. And then make that person hold the weight of the choices that they have been making. Make that person hold and explain why they haven't done the things that is causing you dismay. So when you
right.
say, the other night, I asked you to do this, but you chose to do this, why? Then shut up and listen. See if what he or she says makes sense to them. It may make sense to you, or at least try to figure out where they're coming from with it and say, okay, if you had maybe told me that, then I could have understood the choice. Now you must get it like water, free flowing. That dam has to have locks that open and close and let the water flow so it can be controlled. So you may have to bite your lip and just hear where they're coming from so you can then offer your counter, and the two of you sit with the idea of not winning, but healing. The idea of getting past this, not just for the sake of putting it in the closet, but to grow from it, to have antibacteria in the body so when it comes up again, you already have the protection in place in your heart.
Deborah,
so you have to be able to do that.
Deborah asked another good question. What if your partner always avoids and is angry with the question?
You need to be single.
It's not always that clear cut.
No, it is, because I think that's what we've gotten away from. See, in the past, women and men didn't wait on that foolishness. Your heart means too much to you to sit and try to get somebody to understand why you're important. If that man can't love you enough, then tell him you're unhappy.
I have to disagree. Because we all know, especially the African American community, that we didn't have the best role models when it comes to communication and knowing how to resolve issues that come up. So sometimes you may need to sit down with that person who is becoming angry at your questions and say, listen, I need to know why do you feel angry towards the questions that I'm asking? What is causing you discomfort with the questions that I'm asking you? If they just want to be completely negative about it and just, they don't even want to answer those questions to say what's making you feel uncomfortable, then at that point you may need to... Say it again? Maybe
Hello?
You need to... Can you hear me?
I'm with
okay.
you. I think, but once you've made an honest attempt, if the person is begrudging moving from their platform of whatever, unhappiness is not worth all that.
Yes, because there has to be some form of flexibility. But that person needs to know that you're willing to talk out whatever's making them feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes people feel uncomfortable talking about certain things. So you don't want to attack them. You don't want to say, why you never want to talk about this? I want to talk about this. No, you come to them and you say, you know what, this is a problem in our relationship and we really need to discuss it. So let's start by finding out what's making you uncomfortable about discussing it.
Exactly. And make the person be responsible for their feelings. Do not absorb their BS. Hold your ground. Do not make it your fault. Do not make excuses. And don't give him conversation. Don't give him, and when I say give him conversation, do not be the communicator for him. Don't try to finish his sentences. Say, so you're saying, you know, no, tell me, let's talk, and let's fix. If you start answering his questions before he does or she does, he may or she may sit back and go, yeah, fool, you go ahead and answer the phone. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you just explained it. Yeah, that's it. Nothing's been dealt with. You got to take ownership of your actions, and the first thing you need to do is explain them. See,
I
when you take a stand, sure, go ahead.
Oh no, when you're done.
I'm sorry.
No, when you're finished, I have a question.
Yeah,
for you.
I'm saying like when you take the stand, they ask you to explain yourself, and then the lawyer may say, okay, well then explain what you were thinking, because intent can be the difference between 2 years in jail for the rest of your life. If I didn't intend for someone to get hurt, and they did because of something that I did, I could maybe get less time. But if I say I planned on doing it, did it, I thought about it, and I did it, now I may go to jail forever because I didn't have no regard. So intent is so important. You got to make your significant other hold that weight of being able to explain where they're coming from with their actions and their feelings. Now go right ahead, Doc.
Okay. My question is, I have a friend, and she went to the doctor, and she contracted an STD. And she has someone, you know, that she's with, baby father and everything. So he gave her an STD. Now, she wasn't feeling right, so that's why she went to the doctor. He never told her that he had cheated on her or anything. So what ended up happening is when she went to the doctor, she came home and she told him that, you know what, this is what happened when I went to the doctor. You know, I have an STD. And at first he tried to lie about it, you know, like, oh, it's something, you know, oh, you cheated on me, this, that, and the other. But he didn't know that she was, like, checking his phone every night when he went to sleep. So she had an idea that, you know, he had been sleeping around with his ex-girlfriend. So long story short, what ended up happening is he finally confessed that, you know, yes, I did cheat, you know, and that he went to the doctors and he was getting medication. He had been treated for the STD, but never told her about the STD. So she came to me and was asking, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead, because I'm about to blow my man up, but go ahead.
She came to me and was asking me for advice. And me, I'm one that's like, listen, if you cheated on me, okay, at least come to me, or if we're having a problem, come to me, communicate with me about it. Let's try and fix the situation first before you step out. And I got on her because, you know, she felt something wasn't right, but then she kept checking the phone. Like, every night he goes to sleep, she checks the phone. So my thing is after you check it the first time, you already know what the situation is. So why do you continuously check it when you already know, okay, he's cheating, he got pictures, and something's not right? So then she spoke to me about the STD. You know, my answer is pretty much like this. He doesn't respect you and he can't possibly love you or care about your health because he went and got treated already, you know. And
didn't bother to tell her to get treated.
No, he didn't tell her anything. I said, so pretty much, he went and got treated. He's cured from the STD. Now, you have the STD, but guess what? Now, 9 times out of 10, he got it again. So he's going to need more treatment. And you're sitting here confused, like, oh, what should I do? And I'm like, what do you mean, what should you do?
Okay, before KL blows him up, I just want to say, KL and I have had this discussion because we know his history. He wrote a book about it. And I have always said to him, you know, the cheating I can get past, but if you ever gave me an STD, we wouldn't be on the show right now talking. The relationship would have been over. Because that's just, it's such a STD is like a total violation. Like, I understand, no, I can't understand you cheating, but I can accept the cheating just a little bit more than giving me an STD. You give me an STD, we have nothing more to talk about.
All right, you know what? First of all, that book for anybody that's thinking about it is From Gigolo to Jesus by K.L. Belvin. Check it out, bravenpublishing.com. Thank you. Now, all right, got the plug out of the way. First of all, here's what you tell her. Let me tell you why she leaves him tomorrow. It is not the cheating. It is not the STD. It is that he was so selfish to get treated and not even bother to tell her, hoping that he didn't give it to her. Mm-hmm. And then when she had said to him, I just found out, he already knew that he had given it to her. So for him to lie after already being treated for the damn thing himself, I'm sorry. You got to go find God, something else, and you come back a whole different man altogether, that way the glow is so bright when you come back. She'd have no reason but to consider taking you back. But as is right now, hell no. And the reason being is, okay, you cheated. Yes, when men cheat, they're going to go out and do stupid things because they're already cheating. And most of the time, the chick that they're cheating with is just as stupid as them, so they're going to let them rock in whatever ways that they may not rock with their girlfriend. That's just men being with stupid women. Got that. Happens. But once you found out, once the doctor told you you had whatever, and you started taking medication, and you knew that you were having sex with your woman unprotected, knowing that you could have exposed her to anything. Now, the STD that you got checked for was one thing. Lord knows what else you might have had. So to put her in that situation where her life was in danger, and then when she actually comes back to you and says, well, the doctor said, I got this, I'm not sure. Is it you? Is it me? Whatever. And you lie. See, that's the point where you go, you know what, baby? I'm so sorry. I was stupid. That's when you throw yourself at her feet. That's when you say, let's go deal with this together and then try to start this whole thing over. Because at this point, you have basically damaged your relationship because you didn't just bring another body into the relationship. You brought death into the bed.
Yeah.
Now, at that point,
right.
At that point, you got to get going and get yourself right because it could have been a whole different conversation and a whole different type of STD.
Right.
So you want to give your woman a death sentence because you're lazy behind, don't want to actually own up to the fact that you can't control yourself?
Wow.
And that didn't hit me until after I thought about what I was risking when I was doing what I was doing. So I can speak on it. So I'm not no hypocrite because I'm talking about it from a dude who did it. And one of the reasons why I love my wife so strong now is because I know the chances that I took. And for her to be able to stand there with me now, I'd have to be foolish to even consider something like that now. But the men that do it don't realize that conversation could be, I'm sorry, ma'am, you have HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why she leaves him is because he's already said her net worth in his life is zero.
Mm-hmm. He already told her, I don't care about you. I care about
me. The minute that he took the medication without telling her, the minute that he hid the medication, and the minute that she said, I got it, and then he lied again, that means he would look her in the face if she was dying and say, not me. There's no reason to be with that man under any circumstances. And I'm saying it as a former cheater.
Right. Well, I do thank you. I hope that she's listening because I did tell her I love the Thursday show. So I told her all about it. And you know, told her that she should, you know, that she should call in, you know, she should listen, you know, and just hear, you know, your feedback on it. I explained to her about
what?
The book
no.
and everything.
Don't call in because that's something that doesn't need to be put out in public. What you do is email us at info@bravenpublishing.com
okay.
and ask us your question and let's talk. Or okay. you have my cell phone number. Give her my cell phone number and tell her to feel free to call me and tell me who she is. And let's talk away from the radio because as much as I want the public to hear the things that Tiff and I do, this is something that's personal because now we're dealing with someone's life directly.
Okay.
And that type of information, because emotions that she might want to put out to the world, that the rest of the air don't need to hear that. Yes, it makes for great radio, but sometimes lives are more important than people listening.
That's right.
Right.
So, I've taught health for 12 years. I'm a certified health teacher, and I've taught HIV counseling for God knows how many years. And if I can tell you the stories of students who, because they didn't ask a question, because they thought that the smile was whatever. And I've dealt with parents who have come to me because they heard some of the things that I've taught their kids and secretly said, Mr. B, can I ask you a question? And I've been to AIDS funerals, and I've been with 12 and 13-year-olds who have developed this virus. And unfortunately, in New York City, actually, outside of Brazil, we are one of the easiest places to get this HIV virus than anywhere else in the world. Brooklyn is the easiest in the world. So if folks is in and out of Brooklyn, things is going on. And so when a man can put himself out there like that and then look you in the face when you now find out that you got the very disease that he got, no. No. You're looking at the devil at that point. He need to go get himself clean. So we're here if she needs our help. Tell her definitely to reach out, and I'll gladly sit with her and I'll gladly talk because it doesn't mean that he can't heal. It doesn't mean he can't fix himself, but he's got to do that alone. And he's got to have a long conversation with God, and he's got to really look inside his past and see who damaged him to where he can feel it's okay to treat a woman less than a pair of shoes.
That's right. Okay, well, I thank you, and I'll definitely give her the information. It was a wonderful show tonight. I enjoyed myself.
Definitely.
I'm a little late, but I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, we're gonna close this out. Lavina, thank you so much. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For allowing us to be on this late.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Oh, honey, I want to thank our guest callers who called in today.
Yep.
That was Candace Hudson from Operation Prom. And
yes.
Also, keep in mind, again, the event that she's having this week is on Saturday at Queen Center Mall And I also want to thank Andreen Williams from Ladies of Self-Enrichment and UBM Models. She is having the Youth Gifted and Talented show on April 14th at Acacia's Banquet Hall. So if you want to get in contact with them, definitely I posted the information in the group. Please get in contact with them. They are looking for additional help. So, honey, tonight was a good topic. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was. Listen, you know what? The one thing that we have to speak, and we have to be able to converse. We've got to be able to share our feelings verbally and non-verbally. And so all forms of communication are needed in relationships. And, you know, it's always going to spark up some emotion. But it was a fantastic show. So,
yeah.
Darling, let's close this out the right way. What's your final words for everybody listening tonight?
Thank you for coming. God bless and good night.
Okay, Russell Simmons. I'm going to say this, and actually with Lavina bringing up that last topic at the end, I'm going to say this to anybody listening. You are a child of God. God placed you here for a reason. You have talents that are uniquely yours. When you find a significant other and pair those talents with them, the two of you become something new, one creature, one being. The Lord designed it that way. You cannot get to that point if you're not open and honest with your partner, and they're not open and honest with you. There is no such thing as a loving relationship with locks. It's impossible to happen. It cannot happen. So if you want to love the person that you're with, make sure that you're getting loved in return just as much. Make sure that their actions line up with what comes out their mouth. Make sure that they're connected to something greater than themselves, whether it's their faith, whether it's their children, something that you can look at and say, wow, I see the way he does that, and he does the same thing with me at home, whatever the situation is. Because at the end of the day, you can only protect you, your heart, your health, and maybe even your life. This is reality. This has been Reality in Relationships. I am KL Belvin, and we hope that you tune in every Thursday from 8 to 10, maybe 8 to 10:30, maybe 8 to 11, maybe 8 to 12, who knows? If it's good enough, we'll do what we got to do. But please tune in, tell a friend, and we hope to see you and hear from you next Thursday. God bless.
See you next Thursday. God bless.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. Yeah, it's up on the concrete, baby. Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, before we touched it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how slow whatever comes our way. You know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.